Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I've played a couple of versions of this, but I have to play the legendary epic version by Darlene Love before we get to Christmas for sure, right? It was always David Letterman's show where she did this song year after year, and it was it was amazing. So we didn't talk about this with Cusimano, but we saw the highlight during the break, and it reminded Sue and I, how about Charlie Woods getting a hole-in-one at the PNC Championship yesterday?
So fun to see.
It was amazing. But Bernard Langer, who hit an 18-foot eagle putt in the playoff, took out Tiger and Charlie in a great duel. But that's amazing. I guess Langer has a 24-year-old son, Jason. They've won it for the second year. Bernard's on the senior tour. He's 67 years old right now. And, you know, I was watching so much football and basketball yesterday that I didn't even watch this.
Yeah.
And I always tend to like it quite a bit. But look, we had heavy competition noon yesterday, all the football games and the Mizzou Bragging Rights game over here at Enterprise Center. Mizzou legendary broadcaster, a good friend from my days in J school, Chris Trevino, is with us this evening. Trevino, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. That was a hell of a game yesterday. I was not there in attendance. I was watching it at home. I don't feel bad about that loss because this is a team that certainly has shown that they can take out the number one team in the country, and they played well yesterday. It was a hell of a game, Chris, wasn't it?
Well, it was. Two really good teams, you know, that hopefully will be in the NCAA tournament in March and make a run, but they were. It was a good game. It was you know, I thought it was kind of back and forth, somewhat choppy at times, but I mean that really as a compliment because I think good teams do that to each other. They make the others struggle, and it was that way. Illinois got up by as many as 10, as you probably know, in the second half. Mizzou made a late run and really came down to a late shot. They had a chance to tie it there at the end. They just missed it, but I think the big difference was the free throws.
Yes.
Illinois was almost perfect, missing one for the entire game, the last attempt, and gosh, Mizzou missed, what, 10, 12, I think, by the end of the game. I know it was double figures, which is not good, unfortunately, especially in a close contest.
My guess is that Coach Gates might have had a little free throw shooting contest today during practice, right? Because I can't remember if it was – Coach Stewart told me at one point what he did. I mean, you'd have to – I think a lot of kids have to hit like 10, at least 10 free throws before they leave the court, maybe even more than that during a practice. In a row.
Well, they definitely work on it. Yeah, they try and they emphasize it and just repeat. And it's tough because Mark Mitchell, the kid who transferred from Duke, who's one of the if not their best player, you know, gets himself to the free throw line a lot because he's so aggressive. And, you know, he's been really good scoring the ball, but he's struggling at the line. He made just 6 of 12. And that's not picking on him because, again, he's arguably the best player on the team and was good again yesterday, but just left some free throws out there.
Yeah, and that sucks because, again, they could have won that. But let's kind of talk about the positives here. Coming off the KU victory, I've watched this team a fair amount here. They look like they're getting it together. I love this Jacob Cruz kid, and he can really shoot. So we got shooters on this team. It looks like they're trying or they're starting to look like they know how to play together. But, Trevino, this SEC schedule is going to be brutal, isn't it?
Oh, man, it is going to be a beast. I mean, it's incredible how good the league is. At one point Saturday, like Saturday afternoon, and it was a telecaster said this on one of the games. I can't remember which one as I'm flipping through all that stuff. The SEC's non-conference record collectively was 160 wins and 20 losses. I mean, that's unbelievable. And
yeah.
I think there's 9 teams in the new poll, you know, just out today. Tennessee and Auburn are 1-2. You've got 4 of the top 6. I think it's 7 of the top 10 teams in the country are in the SEC. So that is going to be some battle royal, as they say, when they get into the 18-game schedule in January. And, of course, Missouri gets a start right away at Auburn, you know, the number 2 team in the country that's lost once to Duke. That's it.
So you got Alabama State at home next Monday, the same night as the bowl game, right?
Pardon me?
The Alabama State is at home a week from tonight, the same night as the bowl game.
Yep.
And then Auburn, Bruce Pearl, on the road January 4th. Yeah, that is not going to be easy. Then LSU comes into town, Vanderbilt, Florida, and then you're off and running here, and you hope that you can at least protect. I know this is a goal for the team. It always should be a goal. Protect that home court, right, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You try to win all your home games and get what you can on the road. But, I mean, it is really going to be tough, but there's no doubt Missouri's a better team than last year, obviously, when it struggled mightily, and the talent level's higher. They've already got a really good win against Kansas. That'll carry some weight, obviously, throughout the season and come the selection for the tournament if Missouri's in the neighborhood there, but they're going to have to navigate their way through the toughest conference that they've played in, certainly since joining the SEC, with this many teams and this many good teams. It's going to be really unlike anything we've seen over the years. I really believe it's going to be that tough.
Hey, Chris, Ethan Hannaford here. Thanks for joining us. So it's, I just checked, it's 10 teams from the SEC that are in this new top 25
Crazy.
Poll. So it's even more than you had said. And I know you kind of gave a little bit of an idea of how good this conference is. I'm curious, in your eyes, what is a fair expectation for where Mizzou could fare out in what is such a tough SEC conference in this year?
Well, I think honestly, a 500 in the league would be really pretty good, because you're going to be playing so many ranked teams and so many highly regarded teams, beyond the top 25, which, like we said, that poll just came out a few hours ago, and the rankings that really count are the seedings, with the tournament committee in March. But I think they and most of the teams in the league, there'll be a few that are up in the top 2, 4, or 5 teams nationally, Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, a few others, that have really, really high goals. And I'm not saying Missouri doesn't have high goals, but I think if you go 9-9 in 18 conference games, you're going to be going to the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt in my mind, as strong as that league is. So that would be great. And guess what? That'd be a 9-game improvement for Missouri over conference play last year when it went 0-18. And not trying to be a wise guy there, but that's just the truth. That would be a huge leap in 1 year from no conference wins back up to 9 in conference play, when, again, it will be the highest regarded conference clearly in the country this year, and the highest rated that it's ever been in Missouri's 12, 13 years in the league.
Isn't the evolution interesting from this perspective? When this whole SEC thing came about, the conventional wisdom was, well, we're probably going to get smoked in football, but we can really compete. We can be in the top tier in basketball. And that never really was the case. The SEC got really good in basketball, and obviously we got pretty good in football and we could compete, but it is interesting, because everything is a little bit tossed on its head from where we expected it a year ago or a decade ago, Chris.
Absolutely, Mark. And that's a conversation I've had and comments I've heard from SEC people and Mizzou folks, too, administrators over these now, dozen plus years. When Missouri joined the SEC, the conference was telling Missouri that, we're really looking forward to you coming into the league and helping our basketball profile. And I'm sure Mizzou said, yes, that's what we're going to do. Well, actually, football, thanks to Gary Pinkel's early success, 2 division titles in the SEC East, and then, of course, the 2 championship games against Auburn and Alabama really raised the profile. Missouri's done pretty well, of course, with Coach Drinkwitz winning the Cotton Bowl last year and getting another 9 wins this year. And, basketball has been off and on, really, probably to put it best, through the time in the SEC. So you're absolutely right. It is a little different than how we've thought. It'd be great to get both of the major sports going at once. And not many teams do that. It's hard to do. You look across the country, Power 5 conference schools, there are a handful of them that are top 25 in both sports, but not a lot.
And, one of those teams, and this makes me angry and jealous, but I can't believe that KU is one of those teams, that their football program has really done well.
Yeah, they've gotten better. They have. I mean, basketball obviously is a standard bearer for that athletic department, always has been. And football's gotten a little bit better. They're not playing, I don't think, in quite as tough a conference, obviously, and they haven't necessarily reached the heights Missouri has in terms of winning a Cotton Bowl here in the last couple of years and putting a back-to-back, 9 wins at least seasons. But they are good. They've got a good quarterback coming back next year. If he's healthy, they'll be a dangerous opponent. Missouri plays them. You know, that's the second
that's
game
right.
of the football
yeah.
season. They've started up in hoops again, and now they've got football coming.
I love it.
Starting at Furrow Field in September.
Well, let's talk about. I want to talk about the bowl game. Get your thoughts on that. But let's face it, we're already talking about next year and the possibility of being in the CFP next year. I wasn't that high on the kid from USC, Moss, just because he didn't have a lot of ability to run the ball. And I know they were looking at the kid from California, this Bo Prabula, who comes from Penn State. He looks like the guy we should have wanted all along, Chris Trevino. Tell me what you think.
Well, you know, he is an impressive candidate. And this whole thing came about so interestingly. He kind of entered the portal late. And yet, from Penn State's standpoint, like, how could he do that? He entered the portal while the team is playing in the college football playoff, and I think has a really good chance as a favorite over Boise State this week to be in the Final Four. And he was their number two quarterback, and they would play regularly. They would have packages and games for him. He was more of a running threat, really. He had good right. passing numbers, like 26 of 35, a couple hundred yards. But they used him as a runner. He's a solid, strong kid. But experienced, I think has had 5 touchdown passes, 1 interception, and again, runs very well. And they were using him pretty regularly in their games. So they were surprised, I think disappointed that he left them, you know, on the eve of their first playoff game just last week to enter the portal, or else he might have been more highly sought after by teams that had already landed their quarterbacks in the portal. So
well, that's true.
It's interesting how that all worked out. But no, he's going to be a guy that I think, you know, Missouri will lean on, and it'll be a competition with him and Drew Pine, who got a little bit of experience this year with Missouri, and then he's an older guy too. After that, Sam Horn is hurt. He's trying to come back from Tommy John injury, and they've got a young kid coming in, a true freshman. So, you know, there's a very good chance that this Prabula could be the starting quarterback for Missouri when it starts the season, and he's a late acquisition even within the portal, but things kind of fell into place for them getting him, and he did have some other good teams after him, including Iowa, Missouri's opponent in the bowl game next Monday.
So I got a chance to see Coach Drink a week ago at the Jack Buck Awards, and you know I've actually talked to him about this scenario with the Wild West in the portal before. And then a couple of days after the Jack Buck Awards, this story came out in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I'm sure you saw it, where Coach Drink really expressed a lot of frustration with the portal and the way that these things are working. A lot of coaches have done that, so they've changed some of the NIL stuff, Chris. But look, there's still so much confusion out there. You know, you have a portal window right now, then you got another portal window here in a little bit. Then you got one more portal window. It's crazy out there. It's the scenario that these coaches have to deal with. But do you think there's any expectation that this is going to get a little easier into the future?
You know, I don't know. There's hope that it will be. And I was at the press conference when Drinkwitz made those comments that were then published. And he was pretty outspoken, as he can be, about that situation in particular. And it made a lot of sense. But he said very clearly a couple times, nobody's in charge. Who's in charge
right.
of college football, you know? And then somebody said, well, how about you? What would you do if you were in charge? He goes, I don't know that I want that situation because it's so difficult now. But I think they'll try to tweak as they can to make it a little more understandable, practical. You know, Penn State's James Franklin, again, was really upset in light of his number two quarterback, but you might say 1A in some ways because he played a lot, leaving on the eve of the game. Again, you know, he made comments, I'm paraphrasing, that the kid can do what he wants. You understand that. But the system, I think he said the system is broke.
Yeah.
We need to fix it. So I think most agree that it's broken, but how do you fix it? Can they figure that out in the near future? We'll see.
Well, and we will see, but I mean, one of the things that stuck out is he talked about, and I get if you're a college kid, you want to play and you want to start. If you're good enough to start, you want to do that. But, you know, you have projects, and even in the NFL, you see what happens. And he said, the one thing I would say about this whole situation, it's not our players. Don't be mad at the players. And he mentions Darius Robinson. He says, look, I wish that everyone realized that these things are not overnight successes. He had to wait 3 years, right? And he's a first-round pick in the NFL earlier this year. So it's complicated, and sometimes it's patience that's, you know, required, but nobody wants to be patient, not in this era.
No, not these days. And I understood, you know, Drinkwitz's point, and it was good. You know, Darius Robinson's a great example. But, you know, other guys will counter with, well, coaches are leaving all the time. Why can't we move around and this and that? And it's just Drink was upset because, you know, you've had a few guys now. They show up, and 6 months later, they're gone. You know, they make a commitment, you think, to them. There's NIL and money involved. And then they're gone after the season and not even a full calendar year. So I think eventually it's going to change. Exactly how, I don't know what the solution is, but it's something that is really on the topic. because they're going to be allowed to make money. They're going to be allowed to transfer. But how do you regulate all that? Because I think something's got to come down. I mean, it's like pro sports. It's like free agency. But I say it's even beyond free agency because normally those guys sign contracts that are multi-years, you know. And that, I mean, Missouri may sign about 15 players just in the transfer portal. You know, it's like a whole recruiting class of transfers. But so it goes in this day and age of football. Other teams are doing the same thing, just as many, if not more.
Yep.
Chris, speaking of things that a lot of people would argue need to be tweaked, there's been a lot of noise after this weekend's college football playoff first-round games that some adjustments need to be made after going into perhaps next season or upcoming years. I'm curious, from someone that is around the SEC so much, I think some of the arguments that were made was that strength of schedule was not prioritized enough when this final rankings was put out this year. Where do you lie as far as how the committee ended up coming up with those 12 teams?
Well, you know, I see both sides of it, but certainly I see the SEC up close, you know, every week on the field, and the competition is really incredible, and in this league it's unbelievable. And first of all, in the massive conferences, the power conferences like Missouri's in the SEC, you know, there's so many teams, all schedules within the conference aren't even equal. I mean, Missouri frankly had a great schedule this year, didn't have to play Georgia, didn't have to play Texas, didn't have to play Tennessee, didn't have to play Ole Miss, didn't play LSU. I mean, those, at least going into the year, were five of the top six teams in the league. And I think coming out of the season, there were five of the top seven or eight teams in the league. So you don't know when that comes out on paper how it's going to be. But Missouri had a really good, favorable schedule this season and will again next season, the way it shapes up right now, we think, going in. But having said that, you know, the conference is so much stronger than the others. The Big Ten is the one league, obviously, that rivals it, but I'm not even sure the Big Ten is as deep as the SEC. I don't think it is when you go down through, you know, say teams 6 through 12. You've got some really good teams at the top. Nobody would deny Ohio State and Oregon. I think Penn State's solid, but, you know, Indiana, SMU, I mean, those games weren't close. You guys probably watched them. They weren't competitive at all. In fairness, Tennessee wasn't good against Ohio State. I thought that game would be closer, and it wasn't. But I think they're going to work on it. There was already talk this year about coming up in the next couple of years. They'll make it 14 teams. You remember maybe the SEC and Big Ten met, and there was some talk that maybe they'll get like four automatic bids each. Well, they probably have to go to 14 total in the playoff for those two leagues to get four apiece. Maybe that's in the offing, because those are clearly the two superpower conferences, and I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Just some quick thoughts on the bowl game 1 week from today.
Yeah, going to be interesting. This is like the bowl game that never happened in 2020 due to COVID. It was the same matchup, but I remember Iowa was an 11-point favorite in that game. It was the biggest point spread in the bowl game other than Alabama over Notre Dame. Now Missouri's a 3-point favorite. The teams have changed in a few years. Missouri's really become stronger. In the five-year span, I was still solid, always has been, under Kirk Ferentz's 26th year there. But again, Missouri's without Luther Burden, starting right tackle Memboot, starting tight end Norfleet, linebacker Chuck Hicks. Iowa without its starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, and its starting running back, Caleb Johnson. And his absence may have the biggest impact on the game because he had more than 1,500 yards rushing and 21 touchdowns, and they really run the ball. So I think Missouri's a slight favorite, makes sense, but bowl games, you never know, Mark, especially in this day and age. But should be a good matchup. It's an easy trip for Mizzou fans and Iowa fans. And the main thing for me, selfishly, is right now, a week out, the forecast, sunny and 57. I'll take it. December 30th in Nashville, Tennessee.
That is awesome. And, yeah, you got a quick trip down there. Well, listen, have a great Christmas. Thank you so much for jumping on here. I'm coming in for the Oklahoma basketball game in mid-February.
Ooh,
so I've got an invite from the dean of the journalism school at Mizzou to come in for that one. So if I don't see you before that, we'll see you then. But have fun with the bowl game next week. Chris Trevino, thank you so much.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. 525, Johnny Holzum and the Well Hungarians coming in. They're going to play a little Christmas music next.
Get more at 971talk.com.